The theme this month is I Can Rely on God. We entitled this lesson as a part of that emphasis, His Name is the I Am. That may not become obvious as to why we're talking about this until later in the lesson. But the God that we rely on is the one who at the burning bush, when they said, "What is your name?" you tell them, "I am who I am. I am that I am." God was trying to tell mankind something on that day. And you and I need to have an appreciation that as we seek to serve God, because He is the I Am, we can trust in Him with all of our heart. We can learn to rely on Him. Think about that text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you'll see some things in it that that become obvious to us, and that is that very special relationship there was between Paul and Timothy. Paul had baptized Timothy evidently on that first missionary journey, and he became a constant traveling companion of Paul over and over again. And in one of his epistles, Paul says, "I have no brother in the Lord like Timothy." What a very, very special relationship they had. But when you get to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's life is all messed up as far as the physical aspect of his life. He says in chapter 4, "The time of my departure is at hand." He understood that there was not a lot of hope at that time of him being rescued and released a second time. In chapter 4, he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me. The Lord was there." But he says, "The time of my departure is at hand, and I'm being poured out as a drink offering," as was done sometimes in the service of the gods and in service of Jehovah God. There was a drink offering that was poured out, and Paul said, "Here's my life, and I'm ready to pour it out right now." But Timothy, I want to remind you of some things. That is, God is present. And He does this by saying to Timothy, "I want you to look at my life. You know what happened to me," and he mentioned specifically some places when he talks about Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Lystra was the place Timothy had grown up, and it was a place where Paul had been stoned. In all likelihood, young Timothy, a babe in Christ, stood there and saw Paul ready to give his life. In fact, they drug him out of the city thinking he was dead. But the Bible says that Paul rose up and came back into the city. And so there is that very special relationship. And so Paul says, "Timothy, godly people are going to have hard times in their life. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And that's why this series this month is so important. We need to learn how to trust in God. And Paul's trying to say to Timothy, "I want you to look at my life, and everything you know about my life will help you in your own life." And so he says, "You need to continue in the things that you've heard, because God will help you in the midst of all of this adversity. Look at my life." And so in the lesson this morning, we want to look at the lives of several characters in the Bible of godly men and godly women, and do the very same thing in this lesson that Paul tried to get Timothy to do. He says, "Timothy, you know my life." And I'm assuming that you know so much of the details of some of the godly individuals we'll look at this morning. And Paul says to Timothy, "Look at my life." And in this lesson, we're going to say to all of us, look at the lives of these individuals. And the bottom line is, God will help His people. When you walk out of this building this morning, I want you to walk out with an assurance that God is going to help you and you can rely on Him. As we begin the lesson, I want us to look first at the fact that God in the past has always been there for His people. God was there for His people. We could go back and look at so many Bible stories, but we pick out four or five of them just to remind you of some things that you may not have thought about. Was God there for Noah? I want you to think about God's words to Noah whenever it was time for the flood to come. It was time for Noah to go inside the ark. And if you'll read it carefully, the words that are there are not God saying to Noah, go into the ark and I'm going to shut the door, for God did shut that door, the text says. But the words there from God say, come into the ark. You know the difference in go into the ark and come to the ark? You tell an individual to go someplace, that means you're not there. We're here together and there's something over there and you need to leave where this place is and go to that other place. Well, that's not the word come. The voice of God at the ark said, come into the ark. And Noah and his sons and their wives went into the ark. I want to make a special emphasis here, particularly to our young people. The Bible talks about the fact that Shem was 100 years old whenever his son was born. Born 2 years, maybe 102 years of age. When his son was born, 2 years after the flood would be the situation. Now, if God announced to mankind that the flood was going to come in 120 years, that would have been 20 years before Arphaxad was born. Before Shem was born. Now, you think about that. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When they came into this world, their dad had already started building an ark. And every day, they built that ark. They gathered the gopher wood. They did everything that they could. And all of their lives, until the time of the coming of the flood, they were raised in a home that was a godly home. For the Bible describes Noah as a righteous man. And these children grow up. To use modern terminology, they grew up going to church just like you do. I don't mean that there was a church back there, but every day of their lives, they looked at their father and their father says, this is really, really important. And the next day, the same message was there. And the next day, the same message was there. But I want you to know, whenever that door was shut and the rain started coming, those sons knew God was with them. When all of mankind, save those who were in the ark, were perishing, God was there. You can rely on God. When God says a flood is coming, when God says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, you and I need to understand that's true. But you can rely on God whenever something like that happens. Go from Noah and look at Abraham and his sons. It's interesting to talk about God being in the presence of Abraham. Someone said years ago, and it's been repeated several times, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he knew who he was going with. You look at the life of Abraham leaving Ur and going to a land where he was a pilgrim all of his life, having no possessions at all, no land at all, until he bought a funeral plot for his family. You need to understand, God was with him. And the life of Abraham says, you can trust in God. You can rely on God. What about his sons? When Isaac and Abraham were headed for that mountain where Isaac was soon to be offered, Isaac was not sure what was about to happen. But as Isaac lay on that altar with that knife raised by his father, perhaps the words his father had told those servants who he'd left behind at the foot of that mountain, we will come again. God's with you. And young people, you need to understand that Isaac grew up in a godly home like many of you have grown up in. And Isaac could know from the life of his father, one thing I know is I can trust in God. And when Isaac walked off that mountain, the experience in Isaac's life caused him to believe and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can rely on God. What about Ishmael, the other son? Are you aware that in Genesis chapter 21, Sarah calls Ishmael and his mother Hagar to be driven away from Abraham? Now you just imagine. She's been driven away for so many years. She's been there in the employ of Sarah. And now Sarah, who had been her master, watching over her, now says, "Get out, you're on your own. Take your son." They gave them some water, and they ran out of water. And the Bible talks about Ishmael crying. Young people, do you ever cry? Here's a story in the Bible about a teenage boy that was crying. And his mother looked at it and knew they were about to die because apparently they were in a place where there was no water. And she lay Ishmael and walked away. The Bible said about a bow shot, so she wouldn't be able to hear that child crying. And you know what God said to Hagar, to his mother? "I heard your son crying." Young people, teenagers, God hears you when you cry. And the song that we sang a few moments ago, "Hear Me, Lord, When I Cry," could be sung with such deeper meaning by Ishmael after that event. "Lord, hear me, Lord, hear me," dying as it were. And the God provided a well of water for them that they might survive. You can rely on God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young people, taken away from the very land in which they'd been reared, taken to a foreign land that spoke a different language. There in that foreign land, they were asked to do ungodly things, things that God did not want them to do. In fact, the godly names that they had received from their fathers, all three of their first names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego signify a relationship to the God of heaven. And the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were names that were given by Nebuchadnezzar to honor their king, to honor their gods. And there's that fiery furnace. All you've got to do is yield to peer pressure. When you hear that trumpet sound and all the musical instruments sounding, bow down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not do it. Cast them into the furnace of fire. It's 7 times hotter than it's ever been. Young people, God is concerned about you. And whatever the king said, "Is your God able? Will your God deliver you?" Those young men, perhaps teenagers, stood and said, "Our God is able to deliver us from this fire. If He chooses not to, that's okay. But our God is able." Why? Because you can always rely on God. I mentioned again the widow of Zarephath, because during the lectureship I noticed something. You already know this, but I'd never seen it before. It made such an impression on me. I thought I'd just mention again so that you'd think I was smart. But now I've already told you where I learned it, didn't I? You know that widow, when there's that famine, you remember Elijah prayed that it might not rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. The Bible says God commanded the ravens to feed him. The thing I had not noticed was, the Bible said, when God says to Elijah, "The brook is dried up, you need to leave this land, you need to go up north into the area of Sidon, the world as we know today, into the area of Syria. For I," and here's the thing I've never noticed, "I've commanded a widow up there to feed you." Wait a minute, she doesn't have any food. And when Elijah says, "Give me some water to drink," and she gives him water, he says, "Bring me some bread." She said, "I don't have any bread. I've got a handful of uncooked meal is all I've got, just the flour that's there. And all it's going to take is 2 sticks and burn those, and then that's it." He said, "Bring me a morsel of bread." You and I need to understand God was concerned about widows. There, in our society and in all societies, God has been concerned about widows. And if you're a widow this day, and those of you who someday will be widows, you need to remember, God is there especially for widows. And finally, may I remind you of the time whenever there were little children who people did not want to see Jesus. You've got a child sitting next to you that's about 4, 5, 6, or 7, or 8 years of age. You need to punch them and say, listen to what Brother Dan's about to say. There were some little children. People didn't want little children to be around Jesus, and they kept little children away from Jesus. Jesus said, it's not going to be that way. God said, you let those children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And if you adults don't become like this child that has faith in me, you'll never enter the kingdom. You can rely on God. Little children, you can rely on God. And these Bible stories shows us that. But look from the past tense of God was there for His people to the present tense. God is there for His people. You and I need to understand that whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that the patience and the comforts of the Scriptures will give us hope. And the hope that it gives to us is a realization that these are not the way God used to be. This is the way God is. There are 3 words used to describe the nature of God. They're educated words, big words. The first word is omnipotent. Omni meaning all. God is all-powerful. The power manifested in the creation of the world is the power that Colossians 1:16-18 says now holds its world in its place. His words created the world, and His words sustain the world. The God that was there at the creation is the God that is there in His creation today. And the heavens still declare the glory of God, not just in a Garden of Eden. But there's no speech nor language where the voice of the heavens do not cry out, there is a God, He's Almighty. That's the God you can rely on. And you and I need to understand that He's more powerful than any problems that we could ever have, and more power than all of the powers of the demonic forces and hellish forces on this earth. In the midst of turmoil, world problems, political problems, there's an omnipotent God. There's an omniscient God. God knows. You see, since He created the world, He knows things that men have not known. Don't you find it remarkable that for thousands and thousands of years men shivered in the cold and did manual labors that destroyed their health and destroyed their bodies just because they fail to understand that just below the surface of this earth is fossil fuel, coal and oil, gasoline, and it was there from the very creation. God knew man had a need, and God provided that need. And what a minor illustration that is to all of the things that are involved in nature itself, but more especially that's involved in our own lives. God knows. And God is always present, omnipresent. Psalms 139 says, if I want to flee from God, how will I get away from Him? If as the sun rises, I follow the sun, God is always there. If I take the wings of the morning, God is there. when the darkness comes and I say, surely the darkness will hide me from you, the psalmist says, even the darkness is light about me. Why? Because God is omnipresent. And ask Hagar and Ishmael, is God there? Ask Noah and his sons, is God there in the ark? Ask that poor widow who has less than enough food for her and her son to even have a final meal together. Is God there? And in your own life, in the things that are happening in your life right this very moment, ask yourself, is God there? Can I rely on God? And the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God shouts, yes, you can rely on me. Those are three words. Here are three other words, phrases. You and I need to remember this, that God knows our needs. Jesus said, in reference to those who are concerned about food for tomorrow, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or clothing for tomorrow? Matthew chapter 6, wherewithal shall we be clothed? In one phrase, he gives the reason why you don't need to worry about these. For your Father knows you have needs. You think God is not aware of the adversity that is in your life, or whatever adversity may ever come into your life? Or you think God is not aware of it? The Bible says, before you ask, I will answer. Why? Because if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, shall not your Father give good things to those that ask Him? God knows. But there's another aspect of that. That is, God cares about your needs. I've mentioned this occasionally in funerals. There we are inside a funeral home, perhaps in a church building, and people are driving by, and they'll say, oh, there's a funeral going on over there. Well, they don't care. They know there's a funeral, but they don't care. And sometimes we find ourselves where David was in the Psalms when he said, adversity was around me. I looked on my right hand, I looked on my left hand, and no person cared for my soul. But the God on which you rely, He knows. And He cares. And you and I need to appreciate the fact that God is aware of our tears. David in Psalms 56 verse 8 says, put my tears in your bottle. Think about that. In the midst of adversity, with no one around, tears flow down our cheeks. And the psalmist says, and God is there to catch every one of those tears. That's remarkable, isn't it? You know what He does? He wipes away the tears. And if the hairs of our heads are numbered, so the tears that flow from our eyes. And when we've wept at the night, when there are tissues around us, or perhaps the bed sheet itself is moist from the adversity that has been expressed by the water that comes out of our eyes. And time passes and that problem is no more. In heaven, there's a precious bottle that has your tears in it. Because God is concerned about you. And you're never alone. God knows and God cares. But what we need to appreciate is that not only does he know and not only does he care. Go back to the funeral illustration. There are people who know, drive by the funeral home, drive by a church building, must have a funeral home. They're not concerned about it. And there are those who are inside that building. And we know and we care, but we're helpless. We've all been at that place where I just don't know what to say. But God is on another level. And that's the God in whom we can rely. He's able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is your God? Can your God deliver you? And they said, our God is able. Do you believe that? Can you not write that on your soul so that it's a part, not in an intellectual way, but it's right in the depths of your soul so that whenever adversity comes, your heart cries out, my God knows and my God cares and my God is able. He's omnipotent. And Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, he's able to do exceedingly abundant above anything you're able to imagine or think. You can rely on God. Not because that's the way God used to be. That's the way He is in the present. But what is God like in the future? In the first place, I suggest to you that in the future, that God will work out every adversity you have in your life. As a child, we read those fairy tales about them living in a land and they lived happily ever after. Wonderful world to live in. And wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a world where everything that happens in your life turns out for your good, even the worst thing that happens? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were a fairy land where everything worked out? Folks, that's not a wish. Paul didn't say we wish. Paul doesn't say, wouldn't it be wonderful? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, this we know. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. That's the future. God was that way to Noah and to Abraham and their sons, and God was that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to that widow, and to those neglected children. That's the way God was. But God is right now. He knows, and He cares, and He's able. And in the future, write this down on your soul, whatever Satan brings into this world. There's not one thing hell can bring on this earth that God cannot turn into a blessing for you. You can rely on God. We need to understand that in the future God will bring justice. I think one of the problems we suffer with and struggle with is the fact that wicked men prosper. How on earth can anybody dishonest? How on earth can anybody that is this vile and is this evil, how on earth can they get away with it? And when it gets on the personal level, I just never dreamed anybody would ever treat me this way. And we throw up our hands in despair. Let me tell you, God is not mocked. And whatever, is that all inclusive? Everything. Whatever evil men do, they'll give an account thereof. So turn the other cheek. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you, knowing this, that God who cannot lie says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. There's the justice that is there. And so every secret thing, the last verse of Ecclesiastes says, will be brought into judgment. There will be justice. And while there may be injustice on this earth, in relationships we have with those around us on this earth, don't worry about it. The very nature of God is God will work it out and God will even it out. And in the third place, we need to remember this, God will bring joy. He brings joy in the midst of adversity. Count it all joy when you fall into trials, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says. But I want us to think together for just a moment about heaven. What a day that will be when the Savior I see. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day that will be. Would you think about those that are here this morning that mean so much to you? Will you think about those who used to sit in this assembly but they're now have gone to the other side? Can you imagine what it'll be when God, who said to Noah, come into the ark, that same God will say, come into heaven. And it's not that He'll take me by the hand. He'll take us by the hand. What a day. Glorious day that will be. Listen. You can rely on God. Rely on Him because He never changes. The God of creation, the God who was there in the Garden of Eden, is the God who was there in the Old Testament. He's the God who is in our lives this day, and He's the God who will be in heaven forever. He's the same today as He was in your favorite Bible story. What about your own story? Are the things that's happened in your life that you're like Mordecai? That said, how could it be other than the fact that God was here as a part of this whole adverse, everything that's happening? The Lord's put me at this place for this time. Can you not in your own life look back at times and can you not think about those great times? They may only be meaningful to you. There's an incident in my life that I never revealed to anyone that changed my life in so many ways. Several years ago, must have been 15 years ago, maybe 10 at least, sitting having lunch with Gary and Jackie and Daniel and Lindsay, and I said, let me tell you a story about your granddad. And I told them the story. And I said, when I'm dead, you can tell other people about it. Something that happened in my life that changed my life. I wanted them to know about it. The next Sunday, young Daniel was sitting in Greg Morris's class and said, let me tell you a story about my daddy. Or my granddad, I guess. That remarkable? You've got those stories. And the God who walked with you through the valley of the shadow of death is the God who was, and the God who is, and the God who will be. James says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, the writer there says, James says, every good gift comes from the Father above, and there is no shadow cast by His turning. There are shadows here on the stage. When I look at the shadow that's there, and I turn the other way, this shadow this way is wider than this shadow that's this way. Why? Because I'm a different person. Look at from that side. Let me tell you this. It makes no difference what side of God you look at. Every way He turns, from the time of creation to the time in the ark, to the time of Ishmael crying under that bush, to the time of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to the time of the widow of Zarephath, to the time of those little children, to those times in our lives, there is no shadow. He is the same. And you can rely on Him. Moses says, what's your name? And I go down to tell the Egyptians, what is your name? And God says, here's my name. The I Am. I am who I am. I am He who inhabits the eternity from before there ever was time, and who inhabits eternity when time shall be no more. He is the Am God. Not the way God used to be, not the way God will be. You can rely on the I Am. God help us to understand His nature and to serve Him the best we can. Is the I Am your God? He's not, unless you believe in the Lord Jesus. John 3:16 says salvation belongs to those who believe in Him. You're not a child of God until you repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. You're not a child of God until with your lips you confess Jesus as Lord. If thou shalt confess me with your lips, you'll be saved. Have you done that? You this day could say, I believe He's the Son of God. And then be baptized. No longer in the world. Baptized into Him, into the body of Jesus. And now He's your Father. Who's your Father? The I Am. And that I Am is there for those who are Christians. It may be that you've wandered away and you need to come back to the I Am. A song of invitation is to be sung in just a moment. Won't you make the I Am your God this day as together we stand and sing?